As many of you already know, I've been away this past week to the Appalachian Writers Conference or Appalachian Writers Workshop in Hindman, Kentucky. Hindman, Kentucky is tucked into the eastern Kentucky Mountains just a little bit past Hazard, if you were wondering where that was. It's on Troublesome Creek, for those of us who identify our origins by what creek we grew up on. It is on Troublesome. This is my third year to go, and it has benefited me in more ways than simply helping me to work on my writing. I've met a number of different writers, many of whom I admire greatly, not only those who are featured as teachers, but also those who come as students. And I can honestly tell you that when I hear about a community bearing with one another in love, about generosity and humility and patience, the first institution that comes to mind is not necessarily the church. But one of the first places that does come to mind is the Appalachian Writers Workshop. It's an interesting thing. Maybe it's because of the whole culture of the place, the Appalachian values that are brought there. Maybe it's a function of the fact that after meals, everyone helps to clean up, everyone helps to wash dishes, the leaders and the participants. So this past week, we had the poet laureate of the state of Kentucky, George Ella Lyon, standing right next to someone who was there for the very first time, a young woman who was just beginning to explore the idea of being a writer, working side by side in plastic aprons, doing the dishes. I'm not sure exactly what it is that cultivates that sense, but you would think with all those writers there, you would have a bunch of prima donnas. We don't. We don't. Everybody seems to be there to help everyone else improve this craft that we're all still trying to learn. For me, it really embodies those values that Ephesians is talking about, is trying to cultivate in that particular community in Ephesus, to be able to bear with one another. And the particular form that takes at the writer's workshop is that we listen to each other's writing. Sometimes we read it before we listen to it, but we hear each other read what we've written. And it really doesn't matter if you're in creative nonfiction and telling a story that you've actually experienced, or a story from your family, or if you're in poetry, or if you're in either long or short fiction. The fact of the matter is, whenever you write something and you put it out there, you're taking a risk. You're putting yourself out there. I had a professor in graduate school who said, whenever you perform, you stand nakedly human publicly. That's true when you write as well. You put yourself out, which makes you very vulnerable. And if people respond in the wrong way, it can be extraordinarily painful. But what I've experienced in these workshops, and this past week I heard some stories. I was in creative nonfiction working on a family story. I heard some stories about the experiences of people that I was incredibly amazed at the courage it took to tell that story, to put themselves out there in that particular way, especially among a group of people they just met the Monday before, knowing that our job is to offer critique. So what we're supposed to do is not just listen and hear. We are supposed to respond in some way. Now, listening is almost a lost art. Most of us simply listen at the same time we're framing our reply to whatever is being said, and especially if it's someone who disagrees with us, our argument to defeat them. But that's not the kind of listening that goes on at this writer's workshop. It has to be a kind of deep and attentive listening to hear the joy or the pain or the bewilderment that comes through the written piece and to receive that. Listening is a way we bear with one another, to hear each other's stories, The people who put together StoryCorps, you may listen to those occasionally. There was a StoryCorps booth at the Nashville Public Library for a long time, a few years back. And one person will come in with another person. It might be a parent and child. It might be a brother and sister. It might be two people who are unrelated but came together. And one will be asking questions and the other one will be telling stories. And the folks who put together StoryCorps tell us that listening is an act of love. It is. To listen deeply, to listen in a caring way, and to respond in a way that helps that other person grow in what they're doing is exactly what goes on in these writers' workshops. Now, I'll be honest with you, that doesn't go on in every writer's workshop. I was in one in graduate school, and I got to work with two different poets. The first poet left me in pieces on the floor, did not make a mark on any of the pages of poetry I turned in, and left me convinced that I could never write another word in the English language again. I will not mention his name. But then there was Carolyn Kaiser, who came in. She was the second poet I worked with, and Carolyn had made marks all over the page, had made little side notes, underlined things, drawn arrows around. I mean, I still have those pages covered with her notes. But when she walked in, she said, "Well, you know, there's a lot of good stuff here. Let's cut away all the stuff that doesn't work." That's what we do when we bear each other's burden, right? There's a lot of good stuff in each of us, but we need help cutting away the stuff that doesn't work, that doesn't contribute. That's what we do for each other. Not use the truth like some kind of stick to beat the other person with, but to listen in such a way that each individual is able to grow toward that truth. I do not know a single individual who has ever been drawn closer to Jesus Christ through condemnation and exclusion. Not one. Maybe there are some. Maybe you can come and tell me you know them. I don't know any. But I know quite a few who have come through a kind of invitation to simply be who they are in the presence of God. And that was enough. A theme that runs through the letter to the Ephesians is the idea that we are all one. We are one body, and that is Christ's body. And we each have gifts for that, and we each have responsibility for that. And those responsibilities are to deal with one another with gentleness and with humility, to bear with one another in love. Don't forget that phrase. To tell the truth to one another in love. Can't forget that phrase. I've been told the truth by some of my Christian brothers and sisters, and it was their truth, and they told it strongly, and I did not hear any love in it whatsoever. That's not what we're talking about. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be the kind of Christian who can emulate those people who sit around a table and they pour out literally their life's blood onto a page and they read it and others will listen. And they will respond, not uncritically, but clearly with the intent of helping me grow as a writer, as a person. I have a friend who years ago began to get me a prescription to the Pendle Hill publications of pamphlets. I've always been grateful for that. The current one, it's a Quaker, Pendle Hill is a Quaker retreat center, and a lot of these are on Quaker themes. This one is called A Quietness Within. It's the most recent. It's by Elaine Price. She's writing about a figure named Francesco de Cisneros. I had not run across him before. But she says he is a Franciscan who bypassed convention by addressing ordinary people in everyday language. Spiritual knowledge, he believed, is for everybody, not just for those who possess wealth or social status or education. If you bring, and this is what I want you to hear, if you bring as many people as possible to experience the God within the heart, and to know the simple reality of divine love. Doesn't that sound like what Ephesians is talking about? To experience the God within the heart and to know the simple reality of divine love, where and as each person is, he reasoned, the outcome will be a reformed and a renewed church. From a renewed individual emanates a renewed church, and from a renewed church, a renewed world. That sounds an awful lot like the mission statement of the United Methodist Church, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. This describes how you do that. It's not through condemnation. It's not through exclusion. It is through that deep listening that allows a person to come closer to that God in the heart, that God expressing divine love. That's why we welcome everyone to this table, to invite people closer to the heart of God, to invite people to have an experience of that divine love that we have known. I need to correct something I said earlier in the sermon. You know, I started off by saying that when I read about the gentleness and patience and all of those good qualities that Ephesians described, I didn't necessarily think about the church first. But in truth, as I was reading that this week, I did think about the church, this congregation, this church. It reminded me of a story Tom Laney told me. I wasn't there. It took place years before I got here. Tom was pastor at that time. It was during a time that the church was discussing how we were going to welcome gay and lesbian people. Were we going to welcome gay and lesbian people? And there were meetings and conversations. There were people with all kinds of opinions and ideas. And in one of those, and some of you may have been in this, it was a large conversation. And in one of those, a young woman, a lesbian, told her story of condemnation, of exclusion by the church, of feeling left out and put aside. And when she finished telling her story, she was in tears. And Tom said, "I didn't know what to do. I've been in that position many times." He said there was a long silence, and did I interject myself into the silence? Did I just wait to see what happened? Well, he waited, fortunately. And a lady named Ann Eisenhower spoke up. And she looked across that hall, that divide, and she said, "Hun, we love you. We want you here." She told the truth in love. Now, it may have been her truth. It may not have been the truth for some other people sitting around that circle, but it was the truth. And I've heard that story told in different versions over and over and over again as a watershed moment of why we welcome everyone in this congregation. You see the power of simply telling the truth in love, of inviting folks into this circle. After the first service, Bill was talking about this being actual maturity in love. It speaks to that in Ephesians. I hadn't caught that, but he's been doing this longer than I have, so. This is what maturity in love looks like. This is what maturity in discipleship looks like. This is what we all hope to grow toward. And the way we do that is to bear with one another, to hear each other's stories, to listen deeply, to be able to respond in ways that helps each of us to grow closer to God, closer to the image of Christ in us, and that welcomes all of us on that journey. Thanks be to God that we can do that because we are one body, and that body is the body of Christ.